welcome to Guys Plus, a podcast about guys, a podcast about guys. I'm Brian, you know that, and Chris is here. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's happening, everyone? What's up? That's, I guess, become kind of the greeting a little bit. I notice a lot of people say that to me now.
What's up and watch up. Watch up.
Yeah, watch up. I mean, with any good flub, there's always going to be a little bit of controversy over the correct spelling, the correct pronunciation even. You know, the real, truly great flubs, are up for debate a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, okay, I think I got what I was trying to do.
Brian, why would you start? Why would you keep doing this? Brian was like trying to do something like behind the scenes type stuff. And then he's like, oh, no, we'll just start and I'll do it later. Then he starts the recording, starts the podcast, and then just continues to do the fucking thing that he was.
Be nice. Be nice. Well, Chris, you said, before we get to the Pastafarian holidays, you had the story to tell.
And this is just really rude, I think, because this is like people are paying to listen to this. These are like the people who are supporting and paying to listen to it. And Brian's like, oh, yeah, I'll just get some of my other work out of the way immediately. And, well, I'll just throw to Chris here. Like, are you going to listen to my story? Are you going to listen to my story when I tell it? Or are you going to like, hey, what's that story you wanted to tell? And then immediately go off into your own world.
I'm done. But. Okay. Have you heard of Magic Spoon cereal?
Well, fuck off, man.
Protein.
That's what, hey, Magic Spoon, if you're listening, that's what you have in store for you if you want this guy as a fucking spokesperson. Magic Spoon cereal. Nobody will know what your fucking product is called.
Magic Spoon cereal. It's something else, I'll tell you.
Somebody commented, I think it was on the Patreon. Perhaps somebody was like, Magic Spoon cereal is so gross.
How dare you? How? That's fine. That's fine. We all have different opinions. And my opinion happens to be the Magic Spoon cereal. Tasty.
Have you had it? Have you eaten it?
Yeah, I've been eating it. I like the fruity kind and the chocolate kind so far. Those are the two kinds I like.
And how many kinds have you tried?
The fruity kind, the chocolate kind, the frosted kind, blueberry muffin kind.
So two of them you would say are gross.
I wouldn't say they're gross. I would just say that they're not as good.
Vomit inducing.
The issue with the frosted is I'm thinking I'm getting a frosted flakes situation, but I'm actually getting some kind of a birthday cake flavor.
Oh, that's disgusting. Well, I really mean that. And I'm sorry if you don't agree with me on this, but. Oh man, birthday cake flavored things. Oh, it's just too sweet. It's just like they're always inevitably way too sweet, just way too much sugar in there.
But it's like having your birthday every day.
Well, I would always have for my birthday personally, I would have Dairy Queen ice cream cake.
I did have. I had a soft serve at the baseball game I went to. The other day, it was delicious. A big vanilla soft serve cone.
Yeah, there's there is a place, a ramen place. I think it's Japanese ramen, maybe. But they have this like, it's a soft serve, but it's different. It's like unique. It's called something else, like iced milk something, and they have it in this incredible melt in your mouth cone. They only serve it on weekends, and it's a real treat. But yeah, I'm not out there too much at Dairy Queen anymore. When I was a kid though, that's what I would want for my birthday cake is the DQ ice cream.
They used to call me the Dairy King.
Yeah,
I'd go there so much.
I believe that. I believe it. So I had a story that I wanted to tell, if you don't mind. I don't usually tell a story on here. But I had quite the day yesterday, quite the evening, quite an adventure. What is that? What do you even have?
It's magic. I'm looking at nothing. Booga, booga, booga.
Oh, I didn't even notice that because you have black tape.
I have a Band-Aid because I cut my finger.
Okay, so everybody.
I have my welly Band-Aid on.
Just to be clear, it's like, again, it's washed out in his room because he's got the blinds open. So the sun is shining in. So you can't see the light up thumb at all. All you can see is a big, gigantic black bandage. So it just looks like he's waving around a black finger. Anyways, can I please...
I'm listening.
Tell the story and have
Let's
you
do it.
So I decided yesterday I was going to go into downtown, more specifically the West End to see my cousin. He has a place there. They're moving, and I haven't gone out there. He is my younger cousin. And so I thought, hey, I've got some time. There's no, you know, sporting events on. Let's head down there. Now, I live outside of Vancouver. Best way to get there now is I have to get to the SkyTrain, Brian.
SkyTrain up in the air?
Yeah. Have you heard of the SkyTrain before?
Yeah.
So the SkyTrain some of it's underground, but a lot of it's up in the air. It's like a subway, but it goes up over the city kind of. It's pretty cool. So I get dropped off at Joyce Collingwood Station, which is a cool station. I'm going to Burrard Station, you know, close to the West End down in downtown Vancouver. But I realized, Brian, I don't have any money on my compass card. That's like our tap. I don't know what you guys have.
I know what that is.
Like a compass card is like a thing that you use to tap in and out. You load it up. It's like your Metro card, you know? Your Metro card. So I have no money on there and I don't bring my wallet out anywhere, Brian.
Why?
Because I have my wallet on my phone. So I tap everything.
That's smart.
Well, yeah, you're about to find out exactly.
Like a wallet, brother.
But see, in Canada, you're thinking of it differently. You can tap everywhere. Everywhere just has a tap. So there's no, unless I'm taking cash out, unless I'm buying something over $500, I don't need it. I literally don't need it.
But 99% of the places here you can tap, but there's always a chance you're going to get somewhere and they're going to go, we don't have tap or tap's broken.
Yeah, you're right. You're Brian. You're absolutely right. So the machine doesn't take tap. The machine for you to buy your tickets or load your card up, it doesn't take tap. So now I'm completely fucked. I'm stranded at the station. I'm going from business to business saying, can I tap $10 and you just give me $5 back in change? Why wouldn't they do it, Brian?
Because you're being a nuisance.
No, I wasn't at all. I was so polite. And if it was a business owner, they would have done it. But none of them were business owners, so they weren't allowed to. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't have done it.
Why wouldn't you have done it? What's your problem?
Nuisance.
So I'm fucking wandering around the streets of Joyce Collingwood Station now. Literally, like, what am I going to do? Like, I have to get to downtown. Am I just going to turn around and go home now? I had gone into the A&W, and the guy had, you know, I asked him. They couldn't help me. He saw me afterwards sort of pacing around, and he's like, do you have any, you know, luck? And I was like, no. And he's like, let me get you $5 from my bag. So this young dude working at A&W got me $5. I used it, went down into downtown, realized I forgot my vape pen, Brian.
You don't need that.
Well, you kind of do. You're out on a fun night, you want to have a couple of vapes. And so I forgot my vape pen, so I'm like, oh, I'll go to the fucking dispensary. I pop in there. First thing this little snot-nosed kid says to me, he can't be more than 24 years old, he said, we're gonna start with two pieces of ID before we get started here. I don't have two pieces of ID, Brian. I don't even have one.
Yeah.
I don't even have a single one. I say, you got to be fucking kidding me. In my head, I'm not lashing out.
Out loud. I would have.
I just said,
what's wrong with you?
I just said, come on, you got to help me out here. Older gentleman in the back, you know, one of our guys, he kind of looks over at the young guy and he gives him a little head nod like he's okay. So they fucking sell it to me. That's pretty solid. I get the vape pen. I go, I hang out, I head home. I get into an Uber, from the Joyce Collingwood station. I fucking get out of the Uber and Brian, I leave my fucking phone Uber. That's why you couldn't reach me today. I want to say I had a full-blown drunken teenage night with no alcohol, completely sober, you know, a couple of vapes, but like pretty much sober. And I managed to forget every single fucking thing I needed at every single junction of the fucking night. An absolute nightmare. Uber driver still has my phone right now. I have not gotten it back yet. He still has it. I think
he might be messaged you or anything.
Oh yeah, he's gonna bring it back today. He lives very far away, and it's a fucking nightmare.
Fuck him.
So, anyways, that's my story, everybody. That's my misadventure that I went on last night.
It could never happen. That would never happen to me.
I mean, I felt like you.
I always have my wallet all day.
I believe that, but I did sort of feel like you. Does that make sense?
No.
Like, as all this stuff was happening to me, and I kind of felt like I was stepping on rake after rake after rake, I had this.
I've never had an experience like that in my life.
I had this feeling like
one time I was dropping my wife off at work and I was like, I'm going to leave my phone. I'm going to leave my shoes at home. You know, I'm getting out of bed. I'm going to get in the car.
See, this is really crazy because you, of course, is this maybe why you always wear shoes now?
No, because here's the thing. For years and years and years, mm-hmm. I had to wake up when my wife was ready to go to work and I had to drop her off so that I had the car for the day. And it was saving us money when we were really broke. It saved us like $80 a month or whatever. And so because she didn't have to pay for parking downtown, I could just grab it and go home. And we lived like 2 miles away or 1 mile, really. We lived so close. It was a 5 minute drive. Mm-hmm. And I just left my phone at home and got right out of bed, no shoes, jumped in the car, fucking drove her to work. Everything's going okay. And then this fucking semi truck is turning on the corner that I'm sitting at and just runs over my tire and fucks it up completely.
Like, what do you mean? Like, how does it, how do they?
The tire was turned. Like, I was.
Oh, I see. I got you. I got you.
It runs over the tire. It pops the fucking tire. I don't have any fucking shoes on. I don't have my phone. So, and I don't think I had a spare. So I had to walk into my wife's work with no shoes on and call her on the phone to come down and get me so I could use her phone. It was so, I felt so fucking bad standing in.
Mrs. Quimby, your husband's here and he doesn't have any shoes on.
And was wearing an AJ Styles Bullet Club shirt at the time, and it has guns all over it. It had like guns and bullets all over it. And
whatever.
It was in Japanese. You know,
that's not, everybody knows that's nerd shit. I just want to be clear. Stop. Nobody's looking at that AJ Styles Bullet Club and being like, oh no, is this guy fucking hardcore?
Because it's got,
they can recognize that that's nerd shit.
So June 2024, June 7th is today, Captain Jack Sparrow impersonation day.
I seen this thing, Jack's who is born to play this character, and they said that the number one example was Jack Sparrow, whatever his name is, Johnny Depp. He was just born to play that character, I guess, because he has like some drug and alcohol issues.
He sucks, man. That guy sucks.
Yeah, like, I'm not. He looks really fucked up now too. He looks vampiric. He looks very vampiric now. But yeah, that's a really, I mean, that's obviously pirate, but that's sort of a pirate theme. And I guess I kind of get it.
Be annoyingly cheerful day for the 8th. So do that. Number 9.
Hey, that sounds like a great idea, Brian.
Number 9, bathe and marinara day.
Pasta.
Yeah.
So you are becoming his noodly appendages then.
10, flirting day. The 10th.
What?
Yeah. The 11th is fish day. They're running out. We're in June.
Tuna fish day?
Tuna fish. Would you like tuna fish? I haven't used it in so long. And right before we started recording, I actually fixed the sound. So I can probably play it as soon as I find it. Here it is. Nope.
Okay, that's good. That's fine. Don't even bother. It's the moment's past now. Okay. Now I'd love to have a ranch and bowl of steak at your house. I don't know about her.
Oh, I like this part. This is my part. Would you like some tuna fish? You can have some if you wish. Not a megalomic fish. I am talking tuna fish. That's the part right there. That's the part. That's the money part. So I went and found us, you know, sometime Kooky Trash 8160 on our Pastafarianism asks.
Wait, hang on. We do the Pastafarian holidays. That's enough. We do that every week. Do we have to look into these people as well?
we got the pirate fish skeleton because they got matching Pastafarian tattoos.
Sorry?
So my fiance and I just got matching Pastafarian tattoos.
Mm.
We got the pirate fish skeleton. So you get it because Jesus has the fish thing. So they I guess, made a fish that has a pirate. I don't know how you make a pirate
skeleton. Like the Jesus fish or whatever.
Yeah.
They made a pirate version of that.
Yeah.
Is it like, I wonder if it's a well-known thing in the Pastafarian religion or if it's something uniquely that they did, or if this is like, this is a symbol. This is a known symbol.
You're about to have some fun. Anyway, we're getting married this year and wanted to get married under the watchful eye of his noodliness. We're going to get our minestrone ordained, but we are wondering if anyone out there has any advice suggestions. Thanks in advance. Ramen.
You caught that, right? The one, what was the minestrone?
Minestrone, I did, yeah.
Did you guys all listening? Did you catch that?
Oh, I just got it. And I cut this yesterday and didn't have it. I had no idea yesterday. Minestrone.
Did you really not real? You didn't get it.
I didn't.
I knew that you didn't because you just went right past it and you kept going and you didn't really acknowledge that minister had been changed to minestrone. That's new.
That's new.
That's a new one for us. We have not heard minestrone yet.
Yeah, that's a new one. Mayotseshut says, no tips, just some reflections. I wear a Jolly Roger bow tie to give a nod to pirate regalia when officiating. No spaghetti strainers or eye patches, as I do not wish to take attention away from the couple on their special day. Some couples have offered rum as a thank you, but only as a gratuity because I don't charge a fee. Different states have different regulations. I've had to go to the website or the physical courthouse to get guidance a few times prior to ceremonies. Congrats. I bet those tattoos are awesome.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. To like normal people, I think they would be considered really, really lame.
Yeah, Shothead 1981 says, serve spaghetti at the reception.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I mean, that's sort of a given, I think, right? Like, that's kind of, if you serve something else, you got some explaining to do.
What is a kilometer 458 says, you must both get re-virginified at the ceremony by an ordained minestrone.
So minestrone seems like, unless they're just picking up on it from the OP, it sounds like that's a known term as well.
I'm more concerned about re-virginified.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means exactly. Are we doing satire? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure. Yeah. Are they doing satire there? Is that something that happens in, like, is that something that happens in some religions or something like that when they get married?
I truly couldn't figure it out because I didn't. All I can think is that, like, in Christianity, you're not supposed to have sex until you're married. So on the day you get married as a Pastafarian, which is probably going to be, you haven't had sex either. Very likely, you know, because you're a Pastafarian. You get re-virginified by his noodly appendage.
Yeah, sometimes it is interesting with the Pastafarians is that sometimes I think they do sort of lose the goal here or what they're going for. You know, they lose sight of the satire that they're trying to do. I think they've kind of got lost in it a bit.
Well, finally, oh, you silly bean.
Wait, sorry, I have to say, it seems like they got lost. They're lost in the sauce. I mean, that's really appropriate for them.
So. Oh, you silly bean says, as a minestrone myself, I would like to recommend that instead of unity sand or whatever other things people do, that you do a Lady and the Tramp spaghetti kiss during the ceremony. It's a huge crowd pleaser. Make sure to include his noodliness in your ceremony. Can you imagine? I'd be so, you don't know how mad I'd be at my daughter if I went to a wedding and there was a guy with a Jolly Roger bow tie on and like there's people and they got
nightmare. It would be a complete nightmare. I was just thinking about that, of course, I have a baby, but he's going to grow up. And I just imagined him like becoming a full blown Pastafarian. Course, I would support him, you know what I mean, in his life. And I would want him to like, but I would probably try to dissuade him. I would probably try to like say like, hey, you know, you want to diversify things like this. You want to like maybe like the thing that you spend your life sort of, you know, you devote your life to, you want it to like be a bit more meaningful, perhaps. That's what I would say to him.
I don't know how I would handle something like that, because it would be so depressing. I would feel so let down.
Much worse than he's getting into drugs or whatever or something. Like I think I would be more concerned. Even I'm trying to think of like what would be worse than my son finding out my son is like a legitimate like online minestrone. Like a minestrone, like wants to have a wedding like this, and like I was gonna say non-ironically, but I guess it all is kind of ironic. I don't really, yeah, I don't know how I would deal with that. I don't know if I would be able to just be a part of it.
So I then went to r/guitars. I'm going to share my screen, Chris. It's going to be we're looking at
sometimes my voice sounds like it's coming through on your thing. I don't know if it's being picked up on the I apologize to the listeners if it is. It sounds like I can hear it sometimes, like if I'm talking and then yeah,
I've been listening to every episode we've ever done, so we're good.
Okay,
you can't hear it. So anyway, do you see this room I'm showing you?
I see the room. It's got a couple of guitars up there. It's not too impressive. Guitars. Yeah, there's only four guitars, which is like not very many. But
now your problem's going to come in where there are a lot of chords. And as a person who does a job where chords are necessary, you got to hide the fucking things, man. You can't have them all just sitting out, hanging on the wall like that. That's not. Yeah,
that's horrible cord. He's got black cords hanging up on a bit, you know, on a cream colored wall, and it really, really, really does look bad. Yeah.
Pedal board.
What do you do with your cords? Right.
They're in a box in my closet, like up hot, because I keep XLR cables just out, like hanging.
Oh, hang on a second. So these are just to be clear. So this is a small photo. These are not plugged in cords. These are hanging up cords.
They're hanging up.
Completely ridiculous. Then
yeah, they're just cords hanging. They're just his cords are hanging.
He's like purposely displaying the cords.
They're organized. I will say they're organized in a way that you could just grab a cord off of the thing. That is true.
Yeah, I mean, you want to have those put away though. Like famously, yeah, people like when they're plugged in, you're trying to hide those cords. It's like it's a whole industry hiding those cords, you know?
Yeah. So I keep like two XLR cables hanging on the knob of my closet on the inside. So
Why?
Just because sometimes they, you know, XLR cable just dies and you need one. And those are the only ones I can think of that I would
It's never happened to me before. An XLR cable dying and me needing one like that. But yeah. I'm not doubting you, but like it doesn't seem like the type of thing you would need to have on hand, an XLR cable, unless you're like playing in a band or something like that.
So our comment from user Glenwood Waterboy says, my wife thinks I have too much, which, by the way, he doesn't have too much. I'm going to fucking come in here and say, I've been looking at our guitars and Steve Hoffman for them. And believe me, people have more guitars than he does. He's got five.
Four or five is absolutely nothing. Like I know, not even just from the episode, like I know people in real life that have way more guitars than that. Yeah. Like guitar guys are crazy. They'll have like 25-30 guitars.
Yeah. Max Fisher Player says, hide the fucking cords and she'll be much happier.
Oh shit. Yeah, it could be. He might want to consider just trying that. Hide the cords away, show her and say, hey, I got rid of some stuff. What do you think? And then just show her the same room with the cords gone and her whole attitude might change.
Well, Administrative Put 170 says, you brought this on yourself. Get stuff off your wall and into a handsome desk or bureau with drawers that can put boxes in. Modify a hideaway keyboard tray so that you can attach that pedal board to it so you can tuck it away instead of having it on a tabletop. Get rid of that goofy musician's chair and put a regular chair in there that doesn't have armrests. Making this room more normal is going to give you the headroom to add another three or four guitars at least.
Okay, so that's so awesome because it sort of seems like he's like saying, here's how you can make your wife happy. is by doing this. But at the end of the day, really, he's just trying to find more space to buy more guitars.
Yeah.
He's like, if you do all of this stuff, you could get 5 more guitars. And he's like, but what about my wife? Oh, no, fuck her. Yeah, don't worry about her. You just want to get as many guitars as possible.
Darker Connection replies and says, are you really suggesting here to decrease satisfactory and efficiency from his hobby for woman happiness? Okay, then I demand her not throwing all the bathroom stuff all around and having mess for efficiency as well. Why are we dumping stuff for women? I say no.
He says, from his bachelor apartment. This fucking guy. I mean, listen, I think, you know, if you have a wife and then you're in, these people just don't understand that, I guess, that like you get into a relationship and you sort of start sharing a life together and you're sort of trying to make it work for your family, you know?
Well, this guy says, LOL, my wife would be thrilled if I slimmed down my connection to 3 or 4 times that. And yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. See, this guy's like, buddy, your wife doesn't know how good she's got it. Like I have 10 times more stuff than you.
Well, our OP replies and says, I need to get a bigger house. That way I can upsize my collection. And then Stratman 351 says, nah, that's the worst thing you can do. Then they're all out in the open and the wife is going to be even less happy. You just spread them out among rooms, put them under beds, etc.
He's kind of trying to be funny. Do you know, like a little bit, he's trying to be funny, you know, but sort of not. Like he probably does have some stuff hidden around his house.
What about this guy? Sanity or lack thereof says, magic words every man should know. You know who you married. Stop trying to change me. Scrubs was a great show. So
what is the Scrubs thing?
It's a quote from Scrubs, I guess.
That's a quote from Scrubs?
Apparently.
I think that's just like a quote from Light. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, I don't think Scrubs came up with that idea or that seed, you know? Like, oh, you're giving me the Scrubs line? You know, like, I don't think that. Yeah, but that, I mean, that is kind of
100 people and say, what TV show did that come from? And not one of them would get it.
No, and they would potentially say other ones where they would also be right because it's been said in numerous television shows. But that is a good point, though, like to be serious for a second. I mean, as long as you're not getting married and then, you know, like you're not hiding it away beforehand, you're right. It's like, hey, you married me. I'm a guitar guy. You married a guitar guy and that's who you wanted to marry. You can't all of a sudden now be like, hey, you got too many guitars. You know, that's kind of, well, you can, but like you have to sort of accept the fact that your husband is going to keep buying guitars.
Well, okay, Male 1966 has a good reply too. He goes, tell her you'd have a lot more room without her. You know, they're goofy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could. I mean, you can divorce her. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You can end your intimate relationship with your partner. Definitely. I mean, that's on the table now. We live in modern times. You're definitely allowed to get a divorce.
Dancing Meadow says, I don't really get pedal mania, but it's not my setup. My wife is much more understanding and actually asked me not to sell instruments that she likes all the time. Kobo 456 replies and says, God, if you're reading this, please give me what this man has one day. Please. And then the guy goes, I am really blessed, but she's an atheist, so there probably isn't one in God's cupboard. So,
oh, okay, thanks, cool.
What is up with these wives lately? Mine's just happy I have a hobby at home and I'm not spending my evenings out at some bar getting drunk. So
yeah, that's also
I call that the no motorcycle technique, right?
What's that? What do you mean?
When she says, how many grills do you have? You say motorcycle.
No motorcycle.
No motorcycle. Yeah.
That and yeah, listen, it's not, something. Sounds like that person potentially an alcoholic or whatever, and the wife is just like, you got to stop going to the damn bar every single night, and she's just happy that he's not doing that. He might have liquor hidden around the house, and she just doesn't realize it, but she's at least happier at the moment that he's not at the bar.
Got just a couple more jokes here. Mountain Live says, wife says to husband, you have too many guitars. You should sell some. Husband says, you sound just like my ex-wife. Wife says, oh, I didn't know you were married before. Husband says, I wasn't. I've never heard that. That's not one I've heard. Your instruments think you have too much wife, says the next guy. It's not. Bobby Bob says your instruments think you have too much wife. And now here's a no motorcycle thing. Jaded Influence 6184 says, is this your thing? Or do you also spend shit tons on motorbikes, snow machines, boats, unnecessary $100,000 trucks, unless yours actually gets dirty and banged up as fuck working on a construction site? It's a toy. That's my beef. Another toy.
Well, this guy's really getting sidetracked. He's talking about trucks. I mean, it's different if you're using it. You know, some people need trucks if you're hauling things, of course, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the mall crew. Crawlers, you know.
And then finally, Shawnee MPH 108 says, just write her love songs and give her good head for longer. That'll shut her up. Just eat that pussy. Just
eat her pussy. And they say write love songs for her.
Yeah, write a love song and eat her pussy.
fellas, it's as simple as that. And there's probably like ladies who are listening right now who are just like, yeah, no, seriously, just fucking, if you wrote me a love song and ate my pussy, I would be fucking happy. I mean, doesn't sound terrible.
Smart guy. Grilling. My wife is a pain in the ass. She wants things to be grilled on a charcoal grill, yet she seems to think that charcoal is ready as quickly as a propane grill. I started the charcoal 10 minutes ago, so he's doing this as he...
He's writing this as... He's giving us a play-by-play of his fucking like disagreement with his wife?
Yeah, he goes, I started the charcoal 10 minutes ago, and she's starting to cook the side dishes that need to be done in the house. I should just let her. All that stuff will be cold by the time the steaks are ready. Thanks for allowing me to vent.
So no, don't just let her. Don't spoil and ruin the entire dinner on purpose just to spite your wife. Honestly, go to counseling. I would say go to counseling because it sounds like you have a lot of animosity towards your partner.
He seems mad as hell. Like this is like a Yelp review in a parking lot. Yeah, sort of dude. Situation.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, that'll fucking show her. Yeah, we'll eat a bunch of cold ass shit, eh? Oh well, I don't know. Maybe because you don't fucking understand how charcoal works, you dumb broad. Just screaming at the barbecue.
Eating cold food despite your wife is very good. That's like the lawn guy who was like, tangle up a bunch of sprinklers in the doorway so she trips, and then say, hey, you know.
Yeah, because I didn't even think of that. He has to eat the food. So he's the one eating the food as well. So he's giving himself cold food in order to make this point.
He's taking a bullet for himself just to learn. So she learns a little bit.
She learns about charcoal and how it takes a little fucking longer than propane.
It does take longer.
But just honestly, it sounds like she's just ignorant to it right now. Why don't you just inform her? Like, have you already had the conversation and she refuses?
Also, a lot of times you'll overestimate the amount of time it's going to take to make the sides. And that's something that happens, like where you're like, this is probably going to take a half hour to make these, and then you're done in 15 minutes and you're kind of just standing there like, oh shit. So it's not her fault in any way. It
happens. Like, I've been to many family dinners before, you know, where the sides have to sit off. Ideally you get some sides where you know, you can keep them warming. You can keep them on a warmer or whatever potentially. But yeah, this sounds like a pretty normal thing to have happen. And if he's not mentioned to her, then what, like, just say to her, hey, it's going to take a little bit longer. Why don't you start the sides like a little bit later on?
Better to eat cold food. Grand membership 800 says, well, at least she's helping you. When I grill, I generally have to do it all. So here I am running around the house, liquored up, trying to remember what I need to do next.
Okay.
She's getting drunk.
That is a scene, though, I bet. Like, that is a scene, I bet. Like, he's boozed up, screaming and yelling, can't find shit around the house, kicking stuff over.
WPGFFS says, I hear you, tripping over shoes and dogs at the back door, refilling the cooler, getting dishes ready, etc. Meanwhile, listening to her yelling, you're not cooking a barbecue and you don't think you've had enough to drink. All good. She ordered ice cream for dessert. So that guy was really mad too. Sounds like you and your wife have a communication problem. What happens when the subjects get more complicated?
Okay. Yes. Finally,
right? Nobody asked that question.
Finally, somebody steps in and is just like, this sounds like a really like simple issue that you guys aren't communicating on. Like, this might be about more than grilling.
Yeah. Well, he says she's stubborn and thinks she's always right. I should just hand over the tongs to her and let her see what I'm talking about.
I see. So,
still is mad. He didn't use that to reflect. He didn't use that question to reflect on what's going on at all.
He said she's stubborn, though, so maybe he has brought it up, and she's like, no, this is, I'm putting him on now. Like, they'll be, you know, the timing will be good or whatever. Like, maybe she's being stubborn. Maybe we've got it all wrong. We could have it all wrong, you know?
Axeman says, I did that. We split up. I'm better off mentally and financially now. So
he gave her the tongs, and that was that.
That's it. She's like, I ain't grilling. I'm out of here. And she walked away and never came back.
He basically was like, everything was good. They were married, and then he's just like, yeah, you try this fucking shit. Next day, divorce.
Here's a very weird bit of advice. I really like this. Have the conversation away from the heat of the moment. Bad pun intended. Like when you're not planning to grill or out shopping. Explain the logistical needs of cooking with charcoal and how you need some buffer time to be sure everything prepared comes out at about the same time. And then this guy replies and goes, explaining to a woman? So...
And who's that who replied that? What's that?
That's Aki's fat husband is the person's name. He says, explaining to a... It's called mansplaining, first of all, and you know it.
To a woman? Yeah, it doesn't get you very far, I guess. I mean, this does feel like there's some classic men in these threads, eh? Like really some old-time guys who grew up in a time when everybody hated their wife, you know?
Here's a great... bit of advice, sourdough fart from sourdough fart. If you haven't already, you should have her do a cook from start to finish if you're both willing. It didn't have to be an expectation that she starts grilling regularly. I did this with my wife once when we were at a lake house on vacation. She had no idea that cooking with charcoal meant 20-30 minutes of letting the chimney burn before getting started. I think it helped temper her expectations of eating quickly when using charcoal, but I feel your frustration for sure.
So. And that guy's a pretty reasonable guy too. He's just
that's a good,
yeah.
Good, I mean, piece of advice. Like that. I don't like that method because, again, you're asking somebody who's not experienced and isn't into your hobby to do your hobby, you know. But yeah. I guess I get it.
I don't. I guess though, grilling is one of those ones where it does feel like it's cooking. It's making food for yourselves to eat. So it feels less like, hey, do this thing that's my hobby. Like, you know, yeah. Come to a fucking fish show with me and watch fish. You know, it's like let's make dinner for the family or whatever, you know. So it does feel a little bit like easier to include them in it. And I do feel like it's good advice in the sense of like, yeah, if somebody experiences and does something, they're going to have a greater understanding and they'll probably, you know, they'll be less impatient when they're eating probably.
So, you know who Sydney Sweeney is, don't you?
Is she tennis? Is she?
She's an actress.
Oh, act. Yeah. I've seen. Okay. Now I know. Yeah.
No, she is. And the listeners out there, you'll know who she is. She's on Euphoria. She's on several movies. Well.
Oh, okay. Sydney Sweeney. I think I know. I'm not sure. I'm not positive. I can't picture her. Can't picture her. No.
Well, The Chive posted a thing called Celebrity Curves. And it's just gifts of Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, Sydney Sweeney is a woman or a man? Man or woman?
Woman.
Okay.
With titties. She does have titties. So I thought I'd look at the comments on that, the Chive comments.
Are these photos? Are these photos that they posted?
They're gifts of her.
It just makes sense that I'll understand what they're referring to.
Hold on. Let me get it up.
It'd be cool to sort of just see them only for the purpose of it'd be easier for me to sort of.
Because I didn't cut it out here. So I'm going to. Oh, come on.
I understand. Oh, you don't. I mean, you don't have to. I don't really. But it'd just be for context.
Here it is. I'm going to share my screen with you. I did find it. Celebrity Curves, Sydney Sweeney. And it's just, you know, sort of pictures of Sydney Sweeney in different.
Okay. Yeah, I think I do. I recognize her now. She's on White Lotus, right?
I think so, yeah.
On White Lotus. Okay, so it's a bunch of photos of her in bikinis and brassieres and whatnot.
So let's see what the Chive guys had to say about the gifts of Sydney Swain.
Oh, I pray more replies, I imagine.
Fist of Ham says, well, if you haven't seen her in any movie, you know three things. Or if you have seen her in any movie, you know three things. She can't act, one. 2, her right boob. 3, her left boob. So, saying she can't act.
But she got big tits.
Yeah, Shredder 152 says, I've never heard of her before the Chive. She does have boobs for days and legs for hours, but I hear her acting ability is somewhere around the average sloth. Oh, well, she's really.
Oh! Oh, you've got me, Brian. Brian,
I know.
Brian, you've got me. You've got me, Brian. This guy, the way this person talks is very, very, very upsetting to me. It's tapping into that little part of me that I can't really handle it.
This stuff upsets me too, Chris. Don't worry. There are worse, though. He goes, oh, well, she's really easy on the eyes. And then Fist of Ham says, why are you insulting sloths like that?
Oh.
Then Shredder replies and says, my humblest apologies, sir. I didn't know sloths could act, LOL.
Brian.
I hate these guys so much.
Brian.
My heart for these men.
Brian, but that the way tossing the little LOL at the end, I mean, they're just having fun.
Joe Bocci 6 says, Sid is a pretty girl, but proof that a fabulous rack can make pretty look gorgeous. Okay. And then Godfather replies and says, I don't get the hype, to be honest. Can you imagine how ugly this guy is?
Oh, no, just grotesque. Yeah, this guy is not—he's not cleaned his taint in a year. Last time he cleaned his taint, George Herbert Walker Bush was in office, and he's fucking saying like, "Sydney Sweeney, she's pretty mid."
I don't get the hype.
Pretty mid.
She's got seven teeth. You know what I mean? Fucking big ass like zit on his nose and shit, and then Fist of Ham does reply. This Fist of Ham has like some.
Is he the OP?
No, it's not the OP, but he's just going through and replying to people. He goes, "Let me try to explain it to you." Parentheses, gathering words. Here it goes. Boobs. And then Alex is like, "I'm not saying it's boobs, but it's definitely boobs." So then Gene Parmesan says,
sorry, that name just got me so good.
Rest in Development, a show that came out in Chive actually. Funny.
It's akin to the Prison Mike thing, you know, it's the same sort of thing. It's like one individual like thing, you know, it's like a character that was so like he's only had a couple episodes, maybe one episode.
It's a very chivey thing. He goes, I'm with you. She's definitely attractive, but I could go walk around town and see a few comparable women.
I mean, yeah, that's probably true as well. There's a lot of beautiful women in the world. And like, I love when they start doing that. They're just like, because I don't think it's really objective. Like, it's like, you know, like, I don't think it's like, I think it's everyone's more attractive to different people. You know what I mean?
Women so much, dude. They have like they just have this very old school kind of Opie and Anthony era, like, yeah. Oh, she's like a 6. You know,
I mean, like, you see that a lot whenever there's a beautiful woman and there's like you could find this woman like in Tampa, a waitress at whatever, and like 9 of these in Tampa or whatever. And it's like, I mean, I guess probably to some degree that's like true. There's just like a lot of beautiful women and some of them have this certain level of charisma or whatever that like. But yeah, I don't know. Who cares? I mean, she's definitely an attractive woman.
Well, Larry says, other than a good rack, the rest is just average. I don't see the draw unless it's because she's the flavor of the week.
Like, I mean, she's, yeah, like, I get it. Maybe people who, because she's blonde, right? She's blonde. Yeah. She's fair. She has those. So maybe if you're really attracted to, like, you know, somebody who has, like, dark features or whatever, and that's the type of, then maybe you don't find her attractive. Yeah.
Wow. We get a good explanation from Mate 556 where he says, let's see. She's attractive. Some of the stuff that I have seen her in isn't bad by any means. She has a personality of a Chivette and doesn't seem to have the same attitude like many Hollywood starlets. So I'm good. So he's giving her. He's kind of a chivette.
He's gotten himself so horny. He's lying to himself. He's just like, she's just like all the girls that I know. She's not like one of the, like, I guess she's sort of, I think she's kind of like aloof or something like that. Like, it sort of plays aloof, I guess. I don't know. I've only seen her in White Lotus, I think. I'm trying to think of what I've actually seen her act in. And I think it's only White Lotus that I've seen.
I think I saw she was in a romantic comedy recently that people really liked.
I did watch that. The one with Glenn, whatever. I had to turn it off. And I did think she was very bad in that. I will say I thought her acting was really bad in that. I'm sorry. That's
this guy.
But
he's joining the tribe, guys.
But in White Lotus, I thought she was good. Like, I thought her acting was fine. She was kind of playing this kind of, like, aloof kind of character. And I thought she was pretty good in that. Like, that was the first I had ever seen or heard of her.
Well, Stumbling Around says, just another creation to fill airtime and keep the idiots distracted. To me, she's just okay, even with $1 million worth of technology on her.
Yeah. So,
that's just for the idiots. She's just for the, like you know, wake up. You know what I mean?
She's for the idiots, not me, guy posting on the Chive in 2024.
Yes. So I want to read this to you. This is from TripAdvisor for a couples club called Sunset at the Palms. Okay.
That sounds like it's not a swingers club, is it?
It's a couples club. So you're adult. It's only adults.
But it's more like Sandals, kind of, right? It's not like a sex club. It's not, people aren't having, there's not playrooms and stuff like that.
I don't think there's playrooms, but it's in the grill. Troy goes, terrible, terrible resort. The absolute worst concierge service I have ever had. The food was not even mediocre. It was terrible. Terrible. It cost just over $12,000 for the two of us for 1 week. For that kind of money, the food needs to be acceptable at best. It didn't even meet those standards. The concierge staff should all be fired. Save yourself the grief and book a different resort and enjoy the getaway, because you won't enjoy any part of this resort at all. Troy Mitchell. So,
goddamn, Troy.
Here's a response from Randy Russell, sales at Sunsets at the Palms.
Wait, Randy
is Randy Russell.
Wait, is that?
It is.
Is that fucking? Is that Randy Moss?
Randy Moss.
Listen, folks, we were all very concerned about Randy Moss because everyone, obviously, was fired from Hedo. We don't know if he's fired. He left his job at Hedo, right? He stopped doing that job. So. Where is he? Where did he go? But he's landed on his feet. He's now. Did they realize? I would just say the new place that he's working for, like, they've seen his resume, right? I think you just want to be a little careful with Randy at the helm, what your resort's going to turn into. Yeah. You know?
Well, Randy says, Troy, unfortunately, you chose to use this public forum to express your disappointment when you never contacted management during your stay. So this is a pure Randy Mon right here.
Oh,
this-
yeah. Randy Mon is just like, he doesn't mind publicly just like laying into customers.
Randy Mon is sassy when it comes to
customers. Yeah. Yeah, he's a sassy mon.
Had you let us know, we would have done everything possible to make your stay more enjoyable. Otherwise, we would have gladly moved you to another resort. Randy Mon. P.S. To those who read this review, we simply ask that you look through all the exceptional reviews and make a judgment of your own. Pure Randy Mon. Now, this next one says, beware of bed bugs. Room 601 has bed bugs. And yes, there are also other biting bugs around the resort and beach that spay can't help deter. Number one, you're at the beach. There's bugs.
Yeah, there's bugs at the beach.
At the beach, dumbass.
There's fucking bugs, man. You're out like in the fucking, there's plants and stuff. There's gonna be bugs. Deal with it. What word did you just say though?
Bed bugs.
No.
I don't know.
Read the part you just read.
Room 601 has bed bugs. And yes, there are also other biting bugs around the resort and beach that, see, it says spay can help deter, but it's spray.
Yeah, that's why I was just trying to clarify, because the flubheads will get really mad at me if I don't at least scrutinize those.
But nothing is worse than waking up to a line of fresh bed bug bites. This experience has ruined it for what the resort can be.
Well, that's listen, if that is true, that is a serious issue at a resort. You have to shut that down and fumigate that shit. That's going to spread. That's going to be a fucking problem. So what could you possibly say to that? Like,
response from Randall Russell.
Wait, now he's going by Randall?
Some of them are Randy, some are Randall, and some of them are Randymon.
Yeah, it depends how, like, if he's being really party boy kind of crazy guy, then he's Randymon. If he's just being his normal self, that's Randy Russell. And if he's being really, like, official, that's Randall Russell.
I found Randymon's Twitter. I got to see a picture of him, and let me tell you, he is as white as you think he is.
Oh, I've seen him. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's sitting on.
I've seen a photo of him. Somebody sent it to me before, like a long time ago, like as a profile somewhere. Yeah.
First, dear Michelle, first, after thorough inspections of all rooms, we did not find a single shred of evidence to back your claim. In fact, your room was cleaned daily and still no sightings of bed bugs in your room or any other rooms at the resort. Further, it's very disappointing and disturbing to us that you did not bring your claim to anyone's attention while you were at the resort. Sincerely, Randymon.
He did sign that one, Randymon.
Yeah, he still signs them Randymon, but he starts them as Randall Russell.
It's kind of crazy to be like, the idea that you would dare to say our business has bed bugs is incredibly unprofessional. Signed, Randymon.
I know. Randymon is something else lately, because he was like, when he was doing Hedonism 2, that's what we liked about Randymon, is that he didn't put up with any shit. He's like, fucking bad reviews. He didn't give a fuck if you're a customer or not.
I think the reason why we responded so well to that, though, and why I'm not responding as well to this, is because when he was doing it before, he was talking to disgusting swingers. Yeah. He was just talking to these old fucking gross creeps like Tom and Bunny, you know? Whereas now it's just like, you know, hey, this could be like a resort that we go to, you know?
Well, that is Randymon. We do have...
I'm just joking, by the way, everyone. I have a lot of respect for... I actually do. I have no...
You have a lot of respect for Randymon.
No, I don't. I have a lot of respect for swingers and people in the lifestyle, unless, of course, you're a single guy in the lifestyle. And I have a lot of respect for single guys out of the lifestyle. No problem with you at all. Just don't join the lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a Club Princeton. This is an Ohio... Columbus, Ohio Swinger Club.
So this is the one. This is your local.
This is my local. And Rad Dad reviewed it 10 months ago.
And you're a dad. And you're a dad. Well, I don't. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying the listener can draw their own conclusions. I'm simply asking questions. This is Columbus, Ohio, where we know you live. This is a swingers club where we know you like to go. And it's a Rad Dad. And you are... honestly, like, no one, like, you're a rad dad, you're like fucking cool dude, but you're also a dad.
So, I've never called myself rad in my life. This is not me.
I'm just saying, listeners, this could or could not be a certain host here of this show that wrote this particular review.
This review starts out very strange to me. Someone sent me a message to say our review of this place wasn't on there anymore, so I'll post another one for those that requested it. Here's the pros and cons. So number one,
they deleted it.
As famous?
No, they deleted it. They deleted it.
They said other people are asking for it.
Yeah, probably in the fucking like lifestyle, in the community or whatever. You know, other people, they told them, hey, we put a review up there. Oh, we went and looked. It's not there, you know?
So he goes, pros, a very large location with great potential large crowd. Cons, extremely loud music. As a private club owner, you have to decide. This is very Tony K.
Yeah, don't tell me, next you're going to tell me the water's too cold? The fucking club, dude. This is even more ridiculous than Tony K, because Tony K's at a restaurant at least. This is a nightclub. It's going to be loud music.
Well, he's going to talk about that. He goes, as an owner, you have to decide if you are either a local nightclub or an actual private members club, but you can't be both. My two biggest issues are allowing after-hour club hoppers being allowed to slide in once they're done getting drunk at some bar, and the excessive amount of single guys.
Yeah, I'm starting to understand. I'm starting to see the, their point.
Too many. Creepers are never good for business. So just automatically call single guys creepers.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, he's right. He's right.
they can't just be guys that are there ever. It's all and Tom and Bunny told us the single guys are more accepted now. And you know, more accepted than single women, but we don't believe that.
That's was bullshit. That they're out of touch if they think that.
Yeah, Tom's silly. He goes, overall, this club has potential to be number one in the Columbus area. First of all, it's the only one in the Columbus area. I looked.
I'm sure you did.
For me, for reviews. Added update, wanted to advise everyone that cameras in a private club are illegal and violates privacy laws. Princeton, that means you. Your club can't be filming anyone with the exception of the cash box or outside area. So members, beware of this when entering this or any private club. So I guess there's cameras there. That's bad.
That's I've never even heard mention of that ever before. That's a huge no-no, which makes
security cameras sense. Though makes sense.
Yeah, but again, like at the cash box and the entrance or whatever, but not in sex areas, not where people could.
I guess you don't even want them to be able to see anybody's face that comes in.
Yeah, that's the other thing. When they,
if the camera was, let's say the camera's outside. Yeah. And it's pointed outside, that's also sort of a violation of privacy. But also once you get like, I don't know how you do surveillance. We've never been explained how they do surveillance at a swingers club.
Well, I think they have cameras in the front area. They have cameras in the entrance for sure. So they do security that way. They just don't put it out publicly. The footage, you know,
you got to trust that they're not going to. And I found a video of the owners of this club that I was thinking about taking a look at on the stream this week where I don't think you'd trust them. I would not.
They don't seem trustworthy.
Don't seem trustworthy with your privacy. I'll tell you that. But it is called Club Princeton, which is kind of hoity. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's a name you can trust. It's a college.
It's a university, even.
Yeah. Here's a review of EJ's place in Chicago, Illinois, by Mancow M.
Sorry.
But we're doing a review. We're going to read a review of EJ's place on Yelp. Steakhouse, American Wine and Beers, 3.5 stars.
And where is that? Where? When is this from?
This is from 25 days ago.
So this is this month, man cow out eating at a steakhouse. I want to. Now I'm very interested in this. So what? Can you tell me the name of it? EJ's? EJ's Steakhouse. EJ's Place. This is EJ's in place. Skokie, Illinois. This is the place?
I think so. I didn't get the fucking address.
Oh my God, dude, you should see this fucking place.
Is it gross?
It just looks like it looks like it doesn't look like a nice steakhouse. It looks like a classic, like Texas kind of, you know, like chain kind of one.
I got it up here. Oh, that doesn't, I don't know if I'd eat there really. I'm looking at the food looks good.
Yeah, it looks okay. Let's see what the reviews. The general reviews are 4.6 on Google, so that's very high.
It's 3.5 on Yelp, which is kind of bad.
Open table 4.8 out of 5, Facebook 4.1. great food, wonderful service, and old school supper charm. I would say it does have that. Okay, hang on though. Can I read a review, because I just found a fun one on Google for this place. Yeah.
The fuck?
Oh, your phone's ringing?
No, it's fine.
Okay. 1 star from Roger Keaton a year ago.
Michael's brother.
Ate here with my wife for about a fifth time a week ago. Ordered the 10-ounce filet for $64. Asked the waiter to bring me a slice of raw onion with my meal. Spent $152, and when I got home and reviewed the receipt, I noticed I was charged $5 for the slice of onion. I didn't call to voice my outrage. I'll just never return.
Okay.
So, charge for the raw onion. Are you
raw kidding? Onion charge.
I mean, that's charge. Honestly, though, at a place like that, when you're at fancy places like that, if you ask for them to bring you something, that they're gonna charge you for it.
I mean, the food looks really good. The pictures of the food look really good on Google. Yelp doesn't seem to respect them as much. Like I said, a 3.3 on Yelp. But that's maybe because Mancow M gave it one star. And all caps, overpriced! Myers Nearby is what this place is, capital letters, trying to copy. Elwood's is another mock old school wannabe nearby, and it's better than EJ's. I've traveled all over the world and eaten with the finest chefs on earth. I could really name drop here. I don't mind paying premium prices for meals that reveal themselves over 3 or 4 hours. That's me. However, I find EJ's prices offensive, really just piggish, an insult. I have traveled the world and eaten with the finest chefs on earth. I could really name drop here.
No, but he does. He could, but he's not like that. He doesn't do that.
Not his style. It's really not his style.
Why don't we do a little Gary Glitter here?
That was a huge audio flub, everybody. The flub heads love the idea that the sounds are coming back out, because that was a huge avenue for flubs.
I was honestly like worried about how loud they were, but then the app that I use to run the GoXLR updated, and it has a thing now where I can turn volume down on the samples, so I will use them more for sure.
Sweet.
But that's his tostada.
Mancow M reviews Taco John's, which is a chain.
This guy is... Wait, what's the end of... Did you finish that review?
Yeah. He just said, however, I find EJ's prices offensive, really just piggish, an insult. That's it. That was
insulting, he meant?
Yeah. Taco John's is a chain taco restaurant in middle of the country, and I think the South too.
Have you been? You haven't been there then?
I haven't. I think there's one here between Columbus and Cleveland that I drive by a lot, but I'm not even sure if that it could be. Oh no, that's a different taco place. I forget what it's called, but I don't think there's any Taco John's in Ohio. I think it's further. I think it's the middle of the Midwest. We're more northeastern in a way, so we don't have like Taco John's. But Mancow went to Taco John's, which is a 2.9 star on Yelp. He gave it one star, and he said, I grew up on Taco John's. Many will remember how they had a salad bar like setup where you could add things to your tacos and burritos, jalapenos and various salsas and cilantro. It was boss. That is all gone now since the virus. Why isn't it back? Now it's take what you can get. Can't fix it up. I've been to this location 3 times. In the past, I have driven over an hour into Wisconsin to find Taco John's. I am a fan. He says, important. This is the most Mancow thing. This note. Okay. This location is over-seasoning their meat. It's like in the movie Vacation, where they just eat. Hamburger Helper. Okay, he put a period. Where they just eat Hamburger Helper without the actual hamburger. The meat tastes just like spice mix, and only spice mix. Too much. I'm willing to bet my bottom dollar that they're not following the corporate guidelines on this. This franchise is run by a lovely folks of Indian descent. Which is the proper way to say they're from India. And they do tend to like their food spicier.
I was going to say it. That's why I was like, that's why I just knew that that's where it was headed. The idea of it's like on the vacation movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember that scene.
I don't at all remember the Hamburger Helper vacation
scene. Is that like from the original one? Is that
I'm going to look it up. Is it the one with Ed Helms?
Yeah, that's what it might be. The one with Ed Helms. It might be, because and he's playing like the grown up son or something, right? Or
something. Yeah, Vacation, Hamburger Helper. Oh, okay. So it's Cousin Eddie makes Hamburger Helper with in the first one.
The guy who's gone for real mental in real life now, right?
Yeah. So in quotes.net, it says Cousin Eddie.
What's the actor's name who plays that? He went real Cousin Randy Eddie. Randy Quaid. He turned into for real Cousin Eddie.
Cousin Eddie says, I don't know why they call this stuff hamburger helper. It does just fine by itself, huh? I like it better than tuna helper myself. Don't you, Clark? And Clark says, you're the gourmet around here, Eddie. So,
okay. So it's sort of a, that's an older reference then.
1983.
Well, not that old then.
But it's a big movie. I mean, I'll give them that.
41. It's only 41 years old then. I thought it was quite an old reference.
I'm really wondering if one person that's listening to this knew that before we looked
it up. I'm sure some people did, because it is a famous movie, and so there's people who watched it over and over again when they were growing up, and so I think probably some people did know it. I bet
I watched it a lot.
Me too. I don't remember it, but shout out in the comments. Let us know if you remember the Hamburger Helper
vacation.
Yeah, Vacation.
This franchise is run by lovely folks of Indian descent, and they do tend to like their food spicier. I think they're ignoring the spice tolerance of most locals. And
this guy just like, so this guy's like, he's like, listen, these tacos are too spicy, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it. And I think we all know what's going on here. He's saying that they're going outside of the corporate guidelines and adding more spice because they're Indian.
Yeah.
And they're like, this ain't spicy enough.
Yeah. The Indian people are spicing up their Mexican food.
That's badass.
And he goes, he's like, the locals can't handle this.
He means it's too spicy for him.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right. The locals are all complaining about it. You know, it's like hamburger. I've had five people tell me it's like Hamburger Helper.
What are the other reviews, by the way? Can you tell me what are the, like, does this have generally good reviews?
No, it has bad reviews.
So this place is considered to be bad.
Well, it's just all it really is all it really, it's like Taco Bellish. It's like a small, it's not like a place that you would go expecting good food, I guess is what I would say.
I got you. It's just like, yeah, it's like a basically like a fast food kind of
style place. This guy says he gave it 4 stars. He says, nice alternative to Taco Bell. Slightly better, in my opinion. People here are incredibly nice and helpful, even as the service is a bit slow. Very clean. Cool. What else do you need? Because
the reason it's slow is because they need an extra 10 minutes to fucking spice that meat up.
Yeah, they're spicing.
They're spicing for a lot of time. Yeah, that's why it's slow.
Yeah. And then Mancow ends the thing. He goes, I think they're okay. He goes, sadly, it'll harm their business. A real shame. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they're Indian.
He's mostly worried about them.
That's why he's writing this 1-star review. He's like,
he's trying to show them the error of their ways and sort of tough love, kind of.
You know? I'm trying to help. Okay.
Yeah. You
fucking season it a little bit less. Okay.
Like, I mean, just keep it within the corporate guidelines. Spiciness is all I'm at. Like, it's not crazy what I'm asking for. I'm asking you to keep it within the corporate guidelines.
So I'm going to bring this up too, because I'm sure you'll want to hear some other reviews for it. Because this is interesting. Mancow reviewed NPH Cinema. Okay. And he gave them.
This is just a movie theater.
It is. It's a movie theater.
Is it a chain? Is NPH? I don't know.
It's not a chain. Okay. It is not a chain. And I'm on their Yelp. They have 3.5 stars.
Okay.
There's only 4 reviews.
Okay.
And here's the thing. Theaters, the smaller theaters aren't as good as the big ones. Like, I go to a local theater most of the time called the Gateway Theater, that's owned by like a local person, and they show festival movies, and they like, that's the place I go to most of the time. I remember one time it had been raining all day when I went to see Mission Impossible. The whole goddamn place smelled like mildew. It was disgusting. I was like covering my nose, but I was like, it's not an AMC theater. Like, they don't have a bunch of fucking people working here that can just automatically fix stuff. So yeah,
they don't have all the corporate money behind them as well. So yeah, like the seats aren't going to be as comfortable. Yeah. I don't go to local. I mean, I do sometimes go to local theaters, but there's just not that many options, and they don't have the movies that I'm trying to see. You know what I mean? Like, they're just not playing at a place. It's not the way it works around here. They'll play them later on, or like you said, they'll have festival movies or older movies. So I go sometimes, but yeah, you notice a difference. I mean, the Cineplex is like the big chain here, and some of their places are really nice. You know, they have really comfortable seats and nice facilities and huge screens. And yeah,
I'm only going to this place because it's the biggest theater downtown. Like,
yeah.
Like in Columbus, that's the theater. It's on Ohio State University campus, which kind of sucks because it sucks going there. But like, it's also within walking distance of my house, so I can get there in like 20 minutes by walking. So we go there to see movies. And then there's a couple other small ones.
But will they play that? But they'll be playing like the first run movies.
Yeah. Because I think it's because I live in downtown Columbus. It's really weird. There's not a ton of chains. I think when I was on Doughboys, they were like, what chains do you eat at? And it was like really hard for me to figure out because I don't, there aren't any. I can't get to one. You know what I mean?
So there isn't there's not like an AMC there.
There is, but it's like 25 minutes away. You get in a car and drive to it. It's at a big fucking mall. And it's a pain in the ass to park.
Do they have like the big fucker screens like IMAX or anything like
that? I still go there. I go there
or like for if you're going to go watch like, you know, Fast and Furious or something like that.
Yeah, but I saw Fury Road at the Gateway. I thought it was good. I think the Gateway is fine. It just, if I'm a regular person, maybe on vacation or at a, say somebody comes here for a convention, if they look up the movie theater to go to, they're going to go to the Gateway, which is not an AMC. So if they gave a review of it, they'd be like, well, the snacks are fucking weird because they are. And like the bar is strange. And like, but for me, it's just normal. You just
buy where you go. That's where you go to watch a movie. Yeah.
Yeah. ManCow gives it 4 stars, though, which I'm really happy to see in like a good review. We don't read a lot of his. And he goes, great classic old theater. I don't know. First sentence here is gonna, in America, all of our cinemas have been bought up by the Chinese.
So hang on. A second.
There's more, but that sentence.
I mean, he might be like, is AMC owned by?
I don't think so. Corporation?
I'm gonna look it up right now.
I think that ManCow had such a problem with the Chinese because that was the whole last month of his show was like, I'm being forced off the radio by the Chinese. Like they own everything. And they're saying, I'm not communist enough. So they're taking me off the radio. So ManCow thinks everything is Chinese in the United States. Anything that's changing is Chinese. And it's really funny because he's going to explain at the end why he's giving this review. And it's very, he goes, now they're all cookie cutter and extremely expensive. This has a bit of cinema paradiso feel to it. The way theaters used to be, the way theaters should be. The screens are nice and the sound is great. Just not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the feel of actually going into a movie theater, not just a cookie cutter, bland corporate cattle call. The locals are, this is so weird, Chris, the locals are terrified that Tiger Woods and Justin Timberlake are going to buy this place.
What?
the locals are terrified that Tiger Woods and Justin Timberlake are going to buy this place. Gut it.
Probably. I mean, that's not a reasonable fear though, because those guys aren't even Chinese.
That's what I was saying.
I just looked up. Just AMC is not Chinese.
No.
American-owned company founded in America. And oh, hang on. Oh no, they acquired other. Yeah, they haven't been acquired. They acquired other places. Yeah, so they're fully based out of Kansas or whatever. So that's just.
What if Regal is owned by the Chinese?
Is anything owned by the Chinese, like cinema? Like what other cinemas are there?
Regal is the other, and they're closing a lot of them, but I think a lot of the owned by the Chinese. I feel so weird.
They're not. None of them are. He's just
American theater chain.
He's completely wrong about all of it.
Well, what theaters are Chinese. I'm searching Chinese.
I think he's talking about TikTok.
I think he's actually talking about man's Chinese theater. And
he heard somebody talk about man's Chinese theater. Now they're all getting bought up.
He walked by it and he was like, this looks very Chinese.
I remember when it used to be man's white boy theater.
That's the only thing I can think of. Yeah. So he goes, the locals are afraid that Tiger Woods and Justin Timberlake are going to buy this place, gut it, and turn it into a golf simulator. That's the rumor.
This is a real rumor floating around.
Who's he talking to, Chris? Really?
Well, he's friends with like Russell Crowe. He does know people that could tell him that information, you know?
So I'm going back through, and I could use help too from the listeners. I'll say this before we get out of here. I'm looking for the episode for the stream where I talked about going to the party with the orgies for the first time. I'm going back and listening to all of the old streams, which is torturous, but I'm doing it because I am a professional. And I'm listening to him, and I got to one early in the year with Mancow and American Bob. Do you remember that? He said he met him at a thrift store, and the guy came in and they talked about buildings.
Yeah.
And aliens.
Yeah.
And I'm like, as I'm reading this and he's talking about the rumors of who's going to buy this, I start thinking about like, who's Mancow talking to? He's talking to American Bob.
So you think the insane guy on his stream, you think maybe told him this information?
Billy Corgan, maybe? Or I think he talks to a bunch of psychos. I don't think he talks to normal people around town.
But I don't think he's like carrying on conversations with like, you know, intellectual people or like, you know, people who are sort of tuned in. Yeah, they're probably all extremely disconnected from reality. I think in order to like carry on a conversation with Mancow in like a serious one and discuss serious things with them, I think you have to be disconnected from reality.
It's hard to imagine him having a normal conversation because I've heard him talk so much in my life and he's never had a normal. All of his conversations are fucking weird. And I just the Justin Timberlake thing reeks of like, maybe he was talking to the people that work there or the owner of the business. I wouldn't even think the owner would say it, though. Why would the owner say that?
Nah, he was talking to some person. Yeah, just some person or whatever.
Yeah.
I would imagine. Yeah, imagine having a conversation with Mancow. He just like walks up down the street or whatever. You're like at a bus stop and he starts fucking talking to you, right? Like if you're connected to reality at all, you'd immediately be like, What the fuck's your problem? What's going on, man? Are you all right? He's
like, up the Chinese. You know that. He brings it up all the time.
You know, just the way, he starts doing that, you'd be like, what's going on with you, man?
Yeah. You know? He brings up the Chinese.
I don't give a shit about trend lines. Yeah. Do you?
I'll tell you, I love talking to you.
Good.
That's the best man count.
That is a good one.
All right, we're gonna get out of here this Tuesday. Let me look up what we got coming up on Tuesday. Well, we got the streams on Sunday nights, which I'm gonna have to take off a couple weeks soon. I gotta go to Louisville for 4 days, and then I got a Forbidden Door. So, but we'll be here Sunday. This Sunday.
Yeah.
What was I looking for? Oh, we live in them. Damn it, Brian. I want to be able to tell people what's coming next. And I think I know, but I don't want to be wrong. Because there's, you know what's next week? Renaissance Fair, guys, with Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny episode.
Very good episode.
Yeah. New character on that episode that I've been dying to get on this show.
Yeah.
Christoph the Insulter.
Oh, the Insulter. Yeah. No, this is a good episode. This is a good episode. Yeah.
And we will see you next week with Guys Plus. Good to boy.